Caesarea Philippi, where Jesus is with his disciples, is up towards where the Jordan River, it's up the northern part of Palestine, where the Jordan River begins. It was built by Philip, Herod the Great's son. It was built just before Jesus was born. It was called Caesarea to honour Augustus Caesar. And then he put the Philippi in to make a difference between Caesarea Maritima, which was the Roman port and main base in Palestine, the governor's summer residence also, really, on the water there. And so that was Caesarea Maritima, and Caesarea Philippi was inland, source of the Jordan River. So the name of these two places is important. The name that is used through Scripture with Jesus is important. And we have come a long way in understanding what is the importance of a name. But in Jesus' time, and as he began his ministry, he had been with the disciples about 12 months at that stage, trying to gently mould them, and sometimes not so gently, mould them into apostles and what was going to be the future church, though it was not named the church. But this conversation that Jesus has in the gospel this evening is very important. So he asks them, who do people say I am? If I was to translate it into a modern parlance, I'd be saying, who do you as a church think that Jesus is? As a church. And then they give answers like John the Baptist, because Jesus' ministry was very similar to John the Baptist and the people he was attracting were very similar. So the answer was pretty obvious, really, that some would say that, oh, you're John the Baptist. He's come back again, come back to life. Some say that you're one of the prophets like Jeremiah or Elijah. And certainly Jesus had all of the actions and the goodness of that. And then he goes one step further and he says, but you, who do you say I am? If I asked that question of the people of the church, who does the church say Jesus is? Some would give some deep theological answer. Others would say he is the inspiration. Others would come up with all sorts of answers as who do we, the church, say Jesus is. But when the question comes down to us as an individual, it's very, very different. And for many of us, it's quite uncomfortable. So if I got the children lined up who are making their first communion tonight, and I said to them, you tell me who Jesus is, their answer at that stage would be rather simplistic and innocent from what they have learnt from their parents and probably at school, hopefully, and perhaps here, hopefully. Their parents would give, hopefully, a different answer again. It would be down to another level. Grandparents would give another answer again. Some would be down at another level and others would be at an overly simplistic level. Because for some reason, I think that as we get a little older, we want to uncomplicate our life. And so we go to the core, which means the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter for us then is the answer to that question. Who is Jesus? Who do I say he is? And even in the gospel, you'll hear him being referred to as the son of Joseph, the son of Mary, the son of Mary and Joseph. They'll say that he's Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. He was the carpenter, Jesus the carpenter. Though he didn't stay in that trade into his adult life, which would have disappointed his father and confused his family, because that's what a son was expected to do. Stick with the name and the trade of the father. But Jesus didn't do that, not his earthly father. Then we start to get biblical language, which refers to in tonight's gospel, Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man. Now that's getting way up there. What does that mean, the Son of Man? When he is referred to as the Son of Man, he is referred to as, I am one with you. I am the Son of mankind, and my Father, your Creator, my love for him and my love for you is what makes us one. That's getting heavy now. But it shifts our understanding of who is Jesus. If we are one with Jesus, then that means I could say I'm his brother or sister. So the name is really important. It's not just something that we tack on. And when Peter responds by saying, you are the Messiah or the Christ, the Anointed One, that's a whole new level. Because the Messiah, as the Jewish people understood, was somebody who was coming to save Israel. But the Israelis, the Israeli Jews, had rejected Jesus. So that wasn't going to work. There's no point calling me the Messiah if that's what you think the Messiah is. Somebody comes in wielding a big sword and getting rid of the Romans. That's not going to happen, and it didn't happen. So that kind of Messiah doesn't work. So who's the Messiah? Who are you, Jesus, that you are the Christ, the Anointed One? And the answer to that question only comes when we have a personal encounter with Jesus, whatever that might be. Because it's a personal relationship. We are the church together collectively, and that's the first thing about tonight's gospel in one sense. It is the time that Jesus acknowledges to his community of believers, his followers at that stage, that you are a community. That's the first thing that happens. And I am with you. That's the second thing that happens. That's why he refers to himself as the Son of Man. And Peter gets that. And the third thing that happens is he says, you follow me, and this is what I expect of you. And he lays down the law. I expect this much of you. It'll cost you your life, possibly. And in Matthew's time, that was happening. And what do I expect of you? If you love me genuinely, those who see that love in you, they will come to heaven. They will come to eternal life with you. That's the promise. Those who do not see that love in you, they therefore do not see Christ, the Anointed One. And therefore they are shut out of heaven. And the symbol that is used is the key. Still the symbol for the successor of St. Peter. The symbol of the papacy. Our Pope is the crossed keys. And it's not that I'm going to determine what happens to you. No, we determine what happens to ourselves. But if you are faithful, and we are faithful, to the name of Jesus and what he asks, that promise will be fulfilled. And if we're not, we will not gain our eternal life. And all of this is in vain. So names are really important, because we either attach ourselves to the name of Jesus or we don't. And in this very confusing age that we live in at the moment, it's very challenging, because governments and society are redefining our understanding of the name, it seems to me. Some people would say that, oh, we've just got so politically correct. And there's a point where that is absolutely true. There is an out of balance, because the names of things have been kind of misused, almost abused. I was so saddened last night, and I don't normally voice these things in a homily, but I was so saddened last night, as I said to friends of mine in the parish today, of a term that I had never heard of before, and I've been around a little while, and that term was expressed through a grieving mother who had lost two babies around the 15, 16, 17 week mark in gestation, these little babies, whom she named. This was on television. And when she tried to define the loss of her little boy and her little girl, the medical world referred to these little children as the product of conception. Not a human being, not a life, not a person. The product of conception. And that really does upset me, to think that a child created in love is referred to in death as a product. Something is seriously wrong when we take the name and the dignity that comes with being a human being and we remove that dignity by changing the name or changing the understanding. And for a Christian, that is hugely important because our name, you five kids here tonight, the name that you have been given at birth and at baptism is with you for life and will go on through generation and through generation. It wasn't just something that was plucked out of the air. It was given to you because you were created in love. And all your parents wanted for you was to experience love as a little human being like Jesus once was, not a product of conception. So if nothing else tonight, on your first communion night with your family and friends, just know that you are loved. And just know that you are here making your communion so that you can, as you grow up, answer that question, who is Jesus? He will either be an idea, he will either be a famous person in history, or he will be, as you grow up, God willing, he will be the object of your every passion, your every desire, and your every love. That's what your parents want for you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. But they persevered, and we persevere together because we are the church who reflects the love of Jesus Christ.